in Albert, and I live 5528 Bartlett Street in Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
You number one.
Mrs. Albert, could you tell me something about your immediate family, your father, your mother, brothers and sisters?
My father was a native of what now is Austria and lived from his teens on in Vienna. My mother was what now is Czechoslovakian, but in her teens also moved to Vienna. They considered themselves Viennese, Viennese Jews. I was born in Vienna, and I'm the only child.
What kind of work did your father do?
My father was an interior decorator. Having had the master's certificate in upholstery and decorating, he opened a store in the decorating business.
Did your mother have a formal education?
Yes, my mother was a secretary and later joined my father in his business.
And did your parents come to this country?
Yes, they managed. I managed to bring them out in late 1939.
Okay. How would you describe your home atmosphere?
My home atmosphere was rather liberal. My parents had to work very hard, and I am told that I was a rather serious child, getting used to everyday worries from my young age on. Father especially, also my mother, were very devoted children and family people. I recall my grandfather, who, believe it or not, was the father of 18 children, 12 of his first wife and 6 of his second. Some of them resided in Vienna that I recall quite well. And Sundays were devoted to family reunions. My home atmosphere was well protected, although not without worries.
What part did religion play in your home?
It did not play a dominant part in my life because at that time Central Europe was swept by the socialist idea, and my parents and I in my youth were swept away or up or whatever you call it by the idea. But we were Jewish. I remember my having to bring bunches of flour on Yom Kippur to my parents in temple and so forth.
You were members of a congregation and attended at some...
I don't know much about the organizations of the Jewish population in Vienna. We all belonged to... My father paid taxes. There were taxes imposed. And you had to pay those automatically. And there were elections for the Jewish Council in Vienna, in which the Zionist organization was predominant.
These taxes went to whom?
To the Jewish community, to maintain the places of worship.
Uh-huh.
And to sustain the staff.
And they were collected by?
By representatives of the Jewish community.
And you felt that they were compulsory?
I think the Jews felt, being in a minority, a sizable though, we felt compulsory.
How would you place yourself economically as a family unit?
Place? You mean income from 1 to 10? Or
that and how it may have reflected on your upbringing and the goings-on in your house?
Yes. Well, we were lower middle class. The upper class was actually not well known in Vienna. There must have been families that were in the upper class, but there was hardly any contact. I would say in the middle, between the low and the middle class.
Was yours a home that was culturally minded?
Yes, very much so.
What aspects of culture did you seem to enjoy in your home?
I personally enjoyed being given the advantage of a decent education. When I was sent to a private girls' school of the highest standing, I realized full well that it really was not in the financial capacity of my parents. There were always books around, and there was enough to read, and in my early youth, I almost compulsory felt every decent person has to have a library at home. Sports, my parents didn't see too much value in. As a matter of fact, I had to learn how to swim behind my parents' back. I skied a lot when I was young and went to gymnastics classes and so forth, of which they approved. But I did a few things of which they didn't approve.
Okay. How about art, music? That sort of thing.
My poor parents paid for about 7 years for my musical education. It is teaching the piano. But I wasn't successful. And it was my fault. I was too lazy to practice. And what was the other you asked?
Art.
Art. I was fortunate. Art was really promoted for me in the schools. And I also took special, I must honestly call them crafts classes, on my own. Yeah, but the promotion for art actually came, well, from my father and mother, their taste and their abilities, but the learning was through schools.
Uh-huh. Your father being a decorator?
As a matter of fact, my father did some art. I have a few pieces here. He was very talented. I didn't inherit his talent.
And how about concert going or that sort of thing?
Well, music was not too much cultivated in my home. I did, in my teens, I started to really enjoy the Vienna Opera and concerts, which I actually couldn't afford. I went to standing room, the fourth gallery, to hear an opera, and some of the now historical great ones like Anton von Webern and so forth, I heard at the podium in Vienna.
Would you think of your parents as being disciplinarians?
My mother was a little more disciplinarian than my father. She was a strong, well-built person who really had her feet on the ground.
You know, I think of the Austrian or Germanic people as being very highly disciplined.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There are a lot of things when I compare the upbringing of children here to the one I went through. Of course, my children call me, Mother, you're from the last century. because not only I'm one or two or three generations away, but I was brought up according to the principles that my parents were brought up. And my parents were brought up in the last century.
Did your family go back several generations in that area of Europe?
Oh, yes, definitely. Oh, yes. That's where they all came from.
Mm-hmm. Could you trace your family back 100 or 200 years? Or?
I'm not able to do that. I've always lived too much in the present and future. We had such a struggle. When I was young, I left Vienna when I was 27 years old. It didn't occur to us to seek your roots. I knew I had a big family, and then I realized there was nobody left. But when I came here, the daily struggle was so hard that I just couldn't think of doing anything else. Now, my son, a grown man, starting to dig in the roots after everybody else is gone, and my memory is weak, is very poor of things that happened. So couldn't go very far, maybe three generations. That's all.
And, you know, we think of Vienna as being such a gay, lively place. Did you see it that way?
As a matter of fact, hearing or knowing composers, poets, architects around me or of them in Vienna, I thought, well, the Austrians are overdoing it. They think they're the neighbor of the world. It isn't so. Only later on, when I was far away, I could see the situation clearer. I was amazed myself at an international congress in Vienna, youth congress. I took a course as a guide, and I learned a lot about what really happened in Vienna and the Viennese history. But really going back into that history, I also find out that the Viennese heart isn't as golden as it is said to be. We had very anti-Semitic mayors of the city at the end of the last century already. He had a few friends whose money he needed that were Jewish, and they were his friends. And when he was told, why do you let measures and happenings pass that are anti-Jewish, he would say, I decide whoever is a Jew and who isn't. And he's known for that saying.
What was his name?
I know.
It'll come to you.
If you want it the next time, I'll try to remember.
And how did the anti-Semitism show itself?
Before 1938, before Hitler, if there was much of it, it was undercover. I mean, maybe people who hate the Jews didn't buy in my father's store, but they weren't aggressive in that way. They tolerated Jews being there and exercising their religion. We realized that we were tolerated, but we never stood up for anything Jewish. We knew we had to be very quiet to be tolerated there. But then it was different in 38.
What years are you speaking of in general?
I divide my life before 1938, Hitler, and after 38.
So you're speaking of all the years prior to 38 that
yes.
You saw some signs of anti-Semitism.
Definitely. Since 1934, especially when the so-called Christian Democrats were in power, with Dollfuss as chancellor, and the Nazis murdered Dollfuss. And at that time I was politically rather active. When the Christian Democratic Party in power really suppressed everybody else. The Nazis were underground, and that made them grow even better.
What was your political involvement?
I was a fierce social democrat.
What motivated you so?
Well, once you read Utopia and you're young and you study philosophy and you see poor people and you see rich people, and Austria was a Catholic country that was a concordat with the Vatican, and the population was informed in one very political way: pray and don't think much and take everything as it is. And I had the idea that human beings should think. And at that time, I did read a lot of Marx, Karl Marx, and I was impressed. I obviously had no judgment, no knowledge of development, of economical and cultural history to make an exact judgment, which I only acquired in later years. But I was greatly impressed, and I joined the movement, and that probably was one more point, one more reason for being persecuted the way you were.
Did your Jewishness or your feeling of anti-Semitism further motivate you to participate in the political movement?
No. No, the political movement openly had many Jewish proponents, many leaders that were Jews, whose intellectual strengths and ethics I admired. And that was one of the incentives I had.
How would you contrast life in Vienna with life in Pittsburgh?
Life in Vienna forced you to go like a horse in reins. Just follow the path that's prescribed for you. I saw very sad things happen around me, like another Jewish classmate of mine. Not in my school, I went to girls' school, but a young man who had his doctorate in physics. And there wasn't too much private industry at that time in Austria, so it was the government that would and could employ you, that would never employ a Jewish man. He finally enlisted in the army in the Austrian, and I saw these things happen, and the anti-Semitism quietly but strongly exercised from the top.
So the thing that sticks out in your mind most of all in contrast is freedom.
Freedom, definitely. Definitely freedom here. And the longer I am here, the more I am convinced that in this country it is individuals' power to get wherever he wants to get, against obstacles and what. My husband and I arrived in this country each with $10 in our pockets. That was all. And I worked as a cook and as a maid, having the teacher's certificate in math, and my husband having doctorate of laws, washed walls. And we were grateful to this country that we could come in and wash the walls and cook. And I just don't go much for the way of complaining. You can't do, you're locked. There are no classes here and nobody is locked into anything here. I shouldn't say it, but I am upset every time I go by bus to town and there's that Jubilee Kitchen in And I see people at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, sitting and lying around there waiting till that kitchen opens. Nobody ever rings my doorbell. Now in my old age, I would love somebody to rake my leaves or shovel my snow. So nobody can tell me that it's preordained to be poor or rich.
Freedom and opportunity.
Freedom and opportunity.
Okay, I'm sure that that is uppermost in your mind as a contrast, but could you speak a little bit about the contrast in the physicalness of Pittsburgh or the culture of Pittsburgh or some of these other things that make up our city?
In contrast to Vienna or generally?
Generally or in
all
contrast.
Right. Vienna had the advantage of being the home of many historical places and memories. Not that all the population was aware of it and grew up with it. It also had the great advantage of having mountains and hills come close to the city or surrounding the city, having a great river which afforded summer sports and the winter sports in the mountains. And there was every opportunity if you want to avail yourself of it. For instance, in Vienna, you just had to buy a bus ticket, go to the end of the line and start skiing. Put your skis on and you were there. You could walk to the river and jump in. There weren't lifeguards everywhere, but you that freedom existed. As far as Pittsburgh is concerned, I haven't traveled too much in this country as far as cities are concerned. I've seen a few. But I think Pittsburgh is one outstanding city, having a very cultural center and conscience, having the advantage of ethnical groupings which welcomes newcomers, promotes their culture, but also educates people to be tolerant of others. As far as the geographic situation of Pittsburgh is concerned, I think it's perfect. It is very sad that we hated Pittsburgh when it was sooty and dirty, and now you're sorry it isn't dirty anymore. And as I say, I cannot compare with other American cities to a great extent, but I think it's great to live in Pittsburgh.
You spoke of anti-Semitism in Vienna. How would you think of anti-Semitism in Pittsburgh?
You can encounter it, but there is much more tolerance here. There really is tolerance. As a matter of fact, I found that professing one's religion incites more respect from others than trying to hide or deny it.
What do you remember of your school days?
My school days, I went to public school. The schools are divided into elementary school, 5 grades at the time I went, later on was 4 grades. And after those 5 years, 3 grades of public school, which is called Bürgerschule, citizens school. At the end of which you have to decide whether you go into a craft, become a painter, at which point they will take you into special schools in which you, to a limited degree, finish your so-called academic education together with a professional education. And that is certified for them. On the other hand, the other curriculum will lead you into academic life, which is very hard, because actually the academic life, you have to start after your fifth elementary grade. I personally, due to financial circumstances and so forth, finished the citizen school. And when I was finished, I said, now what do I do? Well, my parents said, now what do you do? My teachers all insisted I take the academic decision. I had to pass tests in every subject to be accepted into that, and passed them. And went at that age, I was 14, and went until 18 to accomplish what is called the Matura, or Reifeprüfung. Then you have your choice of four academic degrees that you go for: philosophy, law, medical, and theological.
Would you say that the students were more serious?
Yes. Yes, much more. As far as I know, it was much more general that students went to their hometown schools. There were no campuses. The campus really struck me as a new thing here in this country.
College campus.
And the free life and the acceptance of young people having to have a good time while in college and having to be supplied by their parents is still very strange to me, let's put it that way.
Do you remember your friends and good times along the way in school?
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Not too many, because I remember the school times, which were happy times for me. Okay. In the upheaval of 1938, I lost most of my friends. Some, one I know, two practically, I recovered them, I rediscovered them on other continents. But as far as I'm concerned, they're happy memories, that's all it was. We stuck together, we were very serious about studying. Friendships formed on the basis of interest in school subjects.
I'm not asking your age, but what year did you start public school?
Public school, not, oh, what'd you do to me? 11 and 6, 17, 1917, or 18, I can't remember, I think I was 7 years old.
Meade, Maryland, in Laurel, Maryland, so then we moved there. And then it was like starting housekeeping. Then we really started, we bought furniture. It was a rented apartment, but we bought furniture. And that was really nice, it was beautiful. And that was just for 11 months. And then from there, we moved back again with my mother-in-law, looking for a place to, Chuck was looking for a place to open a practice in Squirrel Hill, and an apartment. So from there we moved to Darlington Road, 6511 down in the block between Manhattan and Beacon. And we lived there for, wait a minute, was it, about three and a half years. And then we looked for the house, to move into a house, and I was very anxious to live in a house. It was very difficult living with the two, we had two children at that time in this apartment. So I looked for 2 years, and Chuck looked for 1 week. After the end of the 2 years, I finally got him interested. And he found this house on Belmont Street. And so we moved here, and he said, see if you like this house, and I went in, and I liked it, and so we moved here in 1954, and we paid off the mortgage a year and a half ago, it'll be 2 years, so we'll be living here 22 years. So that's where we are up to date.
All right. Well, when was he discharged from the Army? was the town overage.